Welcome to TV Campfire Podcast. This is episode 11, and I'm Libya, your host. And this week I have two guests.
Hi, I'm Josh.
And I'm Libya's cousin Malcolm from sunny Las Vegas.
Ah, just introduce that nepotism. And this week we have a lot of news. It's a big news week because of the upfronts. So the first thing, I'm not really going to go into all the new different shows because some of them I could frankly care less about, and I really don't know about anything until I see them. The one big thing I noticed was that there are 38 new shows, and only two of them are unscripted. So I'm hoping we're coming off that precipice of everything being reality shows.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, I think we're moving back into everybody's bread and butter, which is dramas. I'm excited about that. The other thing is just a note. They've moved two shows, which I'm kind of concerned about. Big Bang Theory, I'm not concerned about its ratings because it's a really strong show. It has great ratings. I'm concerned just selfishly in that they moved it to Thursday. To 8 p.m. on Thursday, and my problem is I already was overbooked for Thursdays as it was.
Yeah, Thursday's a very busy night.
Right, and so by moving Big Bang into the mix, I'm afraid for my TiVo. And they've taken away some of my, well, Monday's pretty full too, so it's not going to really hurt me that much. But I always look forward to my Big Bang on Monday, so I'm not sure about that. The other thing is Human Target has been moved to Friday, a.k.a. the death slot. So I'm predicting that the show will be canceled before December. The other couple of things I have is MTV has greenlit a TV series called Teen Wolf, which I'm assuming is based on the movie, which has potential to be either good or really crappy.
I'm going to go with really crappy.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I see it, too. And J.J. Abrams' Undercover series is... I think we already knew that was greenlit, but it's on the schedule. I just want to reiterate. Spy drama couple. A drama about a spy couple, which is actually now kind of what Chuck is. So
yeah.
But it's
Isn't that an African-American couple?
Yeah, it is. But it's also J.J. Abrams, so it's probably going to be... I'm actually thinking it's going to be pretty cool. So I'll be watching that next year. And on Spartacus news, all of us know that the actor Andy Whitfield was diagnosed with cancer, and he had to step away from the series for a while. And so what they decided to do is do a prequel to Spartacus. So if some of you have watched season one, know that there were a lot of people who died. And the prequel basically allows them to bring everyone back. And so we get to find out how all the other characters met each other, and it's going to be the rise of the House of Badiatis.
Interesting.
So everyone who was dead at the finale is now undead.
Well, they must be glad for that.
Yeah, that's true. More work for them. And right now, they're set to do 6 episodes, and then they're going to check in with Andy Whitfield, see how he's doing. And if he's good to go, they'll go right into season 2. If he still needs time, they'll keep doing some more prequel episodes.
Okay.
So I think that's a really good plan. I'm excited about it. It feels fair. You know, they're allowing him to take care of his health and still letting the show go on, and they're still keeping the momentum of the show, so then when he does come back, there'll be a lot more excitement about it.
That's cool. Yeah.
And on a sad note, some of you know that I used to work on the Sarah Silverman Show for a season. It was last season. And this season is going to be their last. They've been canceled.
Yeah.
So sadness there. I mean,
I was very bummed about that. I love that show.
Yeah. I liked it too, and I like the people too. There are some really good people over there, so I'm kind of sad about that. But I guess we could have seen it coming because they barely got renewed last season.
Yeah, and then they quickly shoved that and Dimitri Martin into midnight slots.
Really? I didn't know it was that late, but
yeah.
Yeah, that's the sadness. All right, you guys, your news.
Well, my news is I did get to see the upfronts for CBS. I can't go into too many details about it, but I'll talk a little bit about the shows that I liked, and the one that is, of course, getting a lot of buzz, which I got to see the extended preview for, was the show that everybody is having a really hard time struggling over how to say its name in public. It's blank, my dad says.
I like shat, my dad says.
Shat, my dad says. I like that. I'm going to use that now. So, yeah, it's a sitcom with William Shatner. And it's basically about a 28-year-old guy who moves back in with his dad, and his dad is not unstable, but just really brutally honest about stuff. And what I saw was actually really fun. It's a fun sitcom. It's kind of reminiscent of Titus. I don't know if you guys watched that at all.
I didn't watch it, but I know of it.
Yeah, it's like dysfunctional family, but it's like dysfunctional with a heart. So I'm curious to check it out.
So thumbs up?
I would give that one a thumbs up. And the other one that I would give a thumbs sideways leaning towards down is the reboot of Hawaii Five-0.
See, the problem with that show is I just saw who is starring as the guy from Moonlight,
Alex O'Loughlin.
Oh my goodness, there's something about that man that bothers me.
Something about him that bothers a lot of people because every show he's on gets canceled quickly.
Right, and I just, he's not a good actor. I mean, he really just bugs me.
Yeah, and it's weird that he's playing McGarrett and Scott Kahn is going to be playing Dano. And the best way I can describe it is sexy people and explosions. That seems to be all it is.
And what'd you say, Malcolm?
Spike's in the pilot.
Oh, you mean James Marsters.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he is. He plays, like, the big bad guy who ruins McGarrett's life, and that's how he goes to Hawaii.
Is it my
Grace Park is in it as well.
Is it my imagination, or has James Marsters now been typecast as a bad guy?
Just a little bit.
Interesting. Not that he minds, and he does play a bad guy well, but he also plays a good guy well.
Yeah.
And he's not, like, grotesquely ugly or anything to make you think he always has to play a bad guy. Just a thought.
Mm-hmm.
Any other pilots you saw?
There were others. There's
anything? Well, memorable mention.
Memorable. They're all kind of. They seem like more of the same. Like this one, Mike and Molly, seems mildly interesting because it's basically like a romantic comedy sitcom between two very fat people. But
that's all it's got going for it.
Well, it seems more heartfelt than it would seem. It doesn't seem as much like, hey, look at the fatties.
Okay.
Which I can at least appreciate on that level. So, we'll see. And there were some other things, but yeah, kind of,
eh. All right. Yeah. That's the par for the course for a new season anyway, it feels like. All right, Malcolm, your news?
Yep, I have some more cancellations. Sons of Tucson is no more.
Bummer.
No more Tyler Levine. Also, Jenna Elfman's show, Accidentally on Purpose, that was also canceled.
Mm-hmm.
But Justified was renewed.
Yay!
Oh, cool.
I like that show. It's awesome.
I'm still catching up on it, but it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's a really good show. I like it. All right.
USA is developing Robin with a Y. That's going to be a modern-day female Robin Hood series.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
I'm not sure about that.
AMC has ordered a 6-episode first season of the popular indie comic The Walking Dead, which is a Robert Kirkman creation about the aftermath of the zombie apocalypse.
Cool.
You can think of it as a cross between BBC's Survivor and Dead Set.
Yeah, we actually talked about that on the podcast before.
There's more information because Dead Set is another zombie show. That one's about zombies invading the set of Big Brother. That was picked up by IFC.
Awesome.
And both shows are going to be premiering in October.
Nice.
Sweet.
All right.
Finally, the guy from King, Sebastian Stan, he landed the role of Bucky in the Captain America movie. And although Bucky is going to be Cap's sidekick in this movie, which is going to be taking place in the 40s, there's a chance that Mr. Stan will don the Stars and Stripes, because in the current run of the comic, Bucky is Captain America. So you might get to be Captain America after all.
Hmm.
That's all I got.
More fodder for speculation on the Avengers movie.
All right, let's get on to talking about the shows for the week. First up, 24. I still haven't watched it, but Josh had. You said you wanted to talk about it for a second.
Yeah, I've been studiously sticking by it, even though this season has been really kind of mediocre. But the last few episodes have really sort of just revitalized everything, and it's gone from being meh to being holy crap awesome.
All right.
And this week was no different. And we're going into the finale this coming Monday.
Yeah, Monday's a 2-hour finale.
Yeah.
And I was actually just talking to somebody about it because he had watched the first 4 episodes and then was like, oh, this is crap, and didn't watch it. But then he saw the previews for the 2-hour finale and he's like, I kind of want to watch that. I was like, really? You're going to just jump in and watch the finale?
Yeah. Well, what happened was, like, they had their storyline and I guess maybe probably about like 13, 14 episodes in, like you could see the writers were like, okay, this is over, this is done, we need to do something different. So they basically just stopped that entire storyline, just ended it, and started up a completely new one, which is fantastic.
All right. All right, well, that just means I probably have one or two bad ones left to go, because I stopped right when Redhead Chick. What is her name?
Renee?
Right when Renee got killed, that was the last episode I watched.
Oh, God, you're just about to get into the good stuff.
Exactly. So
I'm almost done with first season.
Yeah, you got a little ways to go there. All right. So, yes, watch 24, unlike me. Next show up we got is Chuck. And this week on Chuck we have the dad comes back.
Yay, Scott Bakula.
Scott Bakula is rocking this show. His character's really interesting.
I love his character. I loved his character last season.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he definitely has the voice. He's figured out what he's doing on the show, even though I actually find it funny that the two of them look nothing alike.
That's all right. It's Scott Bakula. It's sort of like a nice shout out to us geeks who grew up with Quantum Leap.
Right, I'm not arguing the point. Yeah. I think he's got that character spot on. He's slightly a little bit crazy, and you don't know if he's got dementia or something because you don't know where his brain is going. But he's always thinking about 5 steps ahead, and he knows what he's doing. And what I find worrying about these last couple of episodes is now that Chuck is officially a spy, he thinks it's okay. It's open season to just start lying about everything willy-nilly.
Yeah.
And I don't think I like that. I mean,
well, I sort of feel like they're setting up Chuck to get caught on a lot of that, because now Ellie is slowly being brought into the fold with the ring,
right,
pretending that they're CIA and trying to get her to work with them. And that's so totally going to come to a head, and Chuck is going to have to, like, answer for all that. And that's sort of been happening this whole season, where, like, one by one, the people in his life are finding out what is really going on.
Well, it's not even just... I'm used to him lying about his secret identity. My problem is he's been lying to Sarah about his health. He knows there's something wrong. He's lying to her about it. He's lying to his dad about being a CIA agent. His lie to his dad about being a CIA agent was ridiculous. Because it's like, your dad is way smarter than you, man. Like, what are you doing?
It's like, you should know.
Yeah, it's just like, it just seems like he's lying. Now that the people in his life who do know his secret, he's lying to them about other stuff. And it just seems unnecessary.
It does seem unnecessary, which is why I think, like, probably in the finale, like, it's all going to, like, come to a head, and he's going to get called out on all of his lies, and, like, that's sort of going to be, like, the moral story. Is like, okay, you can be a CIA agent, but you can't lie to everybody, or something like that.
Well, I mean, technically, by definition, a spy is supposed to lie, but I feel like, I feel like it's part of his arc this season also is now that he's become a full-on spy, he's becoming darker, and I think that's kind of how they're saying he's doing it, and I just don't like that aspect of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, the episode was very entertaining. Ellie is... you don't even feel like she's being stupid, because the guy's got an official office, he looks... And it actually, you know what it reminded me of? Was Alias.
Oh, it totally was like Alias.
Because they're like... all those guys really thought they worked for the CIA. They got brought into this group, and it was a top secret. You can't tell anybody about it. And they send you on these missions, and you don't know that you're working for Evil Force or whatever.
And I like that.
Yeah.
Like, I like how they set that up so it doesn't feel like Ellie's just being stupid. It's like she's being like really full on manipulated.
Right, and it's pretty good.
Don't forget that the part that they made Shaw into Zod at the end.
Into Zod? I mean, they made him into. Yeah. They gave him the Intersect. I don't know.
But he's like Zod, and Chuck is gonna be Superman. Like.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Because I was like, what?
Oh, how wonderfully ironic.
Okay, now I get your reference. That was actually too geeky for me for a second. Like, I knew who you were talking about, but I didn't understand how you were connecting them.
Yeah, I got it.
You can't forget earth, wind, fire, and rain.
What?
What are you talking about now?
The boss of the Bymore was in earth, wind, and fire.
Oh, right.
Oh, nice. All right. He was really in Earth, Wind, and Fire?
That was their joke. It's like, it used to be Earth, Wind, Fire, and Rain, and I was Rain.
Sorry. I actually got so annoyed at that whole Jeffster thing that I scanned forward, so I missed that joke.
Yeah, I'm over the whole Jeffster thing.
It was
fun and it was amusing, but now it's getting way too much.
It was unnecessary to the story. I like them when they're interacting with the main characters, but then when they get their own plots, I don't need it.
Yeah.
Alright, let's move on to Big Bang.
This was a fun episode.
Flashback! It was pretty cool because we flash back to how Sheldon and Leonard actually first meet and become roommates, and the elevator actually works. And
that was probably the part that amused me the most, was when the elevator door opened.
that was really good, and I liked their goofy 80s haircut. And somebody was like, "Well, why are they got 80s haircut? It was only 7 years ago." And I was like, "Because they're geeks and they're behind on the times. Like everybody else stopped doing the 80s haircut, and they just started.
They just started it. Yeah.
So it totally makes sense to me, and I don't understand why Leonard would ever become Sheldon's roommate after those levels of tests. I would have been like, you're a geek, I like you being a geek, but you're too crazy for me, you know?
Yeah, like, he did sort of excuse it, where it's like, well, you know, you get that far, you just want to see it through to the end.
Well, I think I might have taken the quizzes to the end, just because I am a geek, and I would be like, alright, what's your next question, I can do this.
Yeah.
But when it came down to signing the roommate agreement, I'd have been like, nah, I'm out of here.
Well, I don't know, when you're desperate to find a place, you'll do just about anything.
That guy's a little neurotic. Crazy. But I did like the tests, and
I liked the little like pop culture touches from like, oh yeah, sure, have fun with your iPod, just wait till Microsoft comes out with theirs, they're gonna blow it out of the water.
Yeah. Well, what was great too is when they're signing the roommate agreement about television watching, and they put
Firefly. Yeah,
they're like, we're gonna agree to watch Firefly every Friday for the next whatever years. Oh, no.
We might as well get that out of the way now, because that show's going to be on for years.
Yes, the whole crowd actually groaned. I was like, oh, that was pretty
good. It's like I wanted to laugh and cry at the same time.
The only thing is I'm tired of them bashing Babylon 5. Leonard loves it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, actually, all the geeks
love it.
Sheldon hates it, and he makes me angry. He does. It's just like, stop talking about my show, man. Like, that actually, and I can't figure out if Chuck Lorre likes the show or if he hates the show. I cannot determine it. And, because usually I think he has a very good geek meter.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not sure. Well, where he falls on that. And I kind of like
the community has always been very bipolar when it comes to Babylon 5. You either love it or you hate it.
Okay, I could see that.
Yeah. And for me, I haven't watched enough of it to really make a definite opinion.
I can totally
on it.
Solve that problem for you.
I know. And one day I will take you up on that. Probably when in the summer when we're not watching tons of TV.
Right, I can get with that.
I don't watch The Big Bang, but I can say that the fourth season of Babylon 5 is the best.
Okay.
Third or fourth? We can fight over which one's better. Third or fourth? Both third and fourth are fantastic. Unfortunately, fifth season is one of those shows that thought they were being canceled at the end of fourth, so they wrapped everything up, and then they were like, "Oh, you have another season," and he was like, "Oh."
Oh, so so basically what Supernatural is going to be going through next season.
Yes. I haven't decided yet if I'm going to watch Supernatural next season.
I'm going to watch it, but I'm going to be cautious.
Yeah, I told Brian, I said, let me know. I was like, let me know if it's good. If it's good, I'll watch it. If it's not, I'm not going to waste my time. But though Brian might not be my perfect gauge for that.
No, probably not. He's
got Supernatural blinders.
Yeah.
The next show we're going to talk about is Castle.
Yay.
It was the Castle's finale. And in the finale, it was a pretty good finale story-wise, mainly because the little clues they give you are actually perfect. Because I was watching it, and they're like, oh, we have a spy, and he's got this message in a pin, and it self-destructs, and he calls into the line to get a safe house and all this other stuff. And every time when I was watching it, I was like, this feels like a novel.
Yeah, I know. Like, I was watching it. I'm like, this is one of those theatrical role-playing games, isn't it?
Well, I didn't think that. I just thought, like, especially when Mitch Pileggi comes into the interview room and they interrogate him, and he's like, someone much more powerful than you will make a phone call, and then I'll be gone, or something like that. Something really, really cheesy. And I was expecting Castle to be like, did you get that out of a book?
Yeah.
You know, it was a super, super cheesy line. And then when they reveal that the whole thing is a game, then it totally makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh,
well,
okay.
I called pretty early on that that's where they were going with it, because everything just seemed a little too perfect spy-wise.
Right. It was. So, yeah. Kudos to you.
Mm-hmm. But what I loved, and I've always loved this, and I wish they would use it more, is his card games with the other authors.
Oh, yeah, because those are all real authors.
Yeah, like James Patterson and all those guys. And I just love their interactions, and I love how he uses them as sounding boards. Like, oh, that would never happen. Or I would change this story that way and, like, get little notes. And they're probably some of my favorite scenes in the whole series, and I just wish they would do it more.
Well, I mean, do you think about having to get those guys, all of them, getting their schedules together? But it is really good, because they're like, if the murder's not working out the way you think it is, it's probably not related to the spy game. It's probably, you know, like, they actually worked it out for them. Mm-hmm. Because they're like, if I was writing this novel, it would be, you know. So that's all really good.
Well, like, they always just give you, like, some really cool insights. Like, there's really only three motivations for murder: money, revenge, and sex.
Right. And they're usually very right.
Yeah.
And then there's been some controversy about the end of the episode, which was all the relationship stuff. Mainly it had to do with Castle just being like, I'm not going to sit on the sidelines and watch you date this other guy. He's like, if I have a choice, I'm just going to leave. And so Castle makes his decision to leave because it was too painful for him to watch it.
Yeah.
And then Beckett finally gets it that she's going to have to choose.
That's just your typical romance drama.
Yeah, it is. And it was very standard fare. And only things I felt like they cheated a little bit at the end with him getting back with his ex-wife. Because, they mentioned that he was on the phone with her.
Yeah.
But it still felt like a cheat at the end that she just shows up and they're going off to the Hamptons together.
It did feel a little bit like a cheat. It felt like they were trying to force in, like, some extra drama. Because they get to the moment and you're like, okay, it's finally going to happen.
No. Well, I knew they were going to get around it finally happening.
Yeah.
But I wasn't sure how. It just felt like the cheap way out. And I wasn't impressed by the writing for that. Usually their writing, especially considering the writing was so sharp for everything else.
Yeah.
That ending was kind of disappointing. But finally Beckett realizes that she cares about Castle. I guess that's good. But I just felt...
Well, that's just going to make things even more awkward next season.
Well, that's good. I like the tension. The tension's fine. Okay. I have no problem with that. And real quick, Tuesday, I wanted to really quickly mention NCIS this week. It is the part two of the three-part finale. And it's fantastic. All you guys who think that NCIS is nothing but a procedural, watch the show. And it is, I'd say it's 60 to 70% procedural, because you have a murder every week, blah, blah, blah. But the characterization is fantastic. And this week's episode especially was really good because someone has a vendetta against Gibbs and they've been trying to hurt everyone around him. And what I love is he has these rules that he lives by and rules that he teaches all his people, his subordinates. They all memorize his rules. That's like the first thing. If you're going to work for Gibbs, you memorize his rules because he starts talking in code. Okay. And something happened last week, and he realized he was being set up, and he looked over at one of his people. He was like, rule 40? He was like, rule 40, which means if you think they're out to get you, they probably are. Which it, so that let him know that he was being set up. And okay. What was great this week is he knew that they were going to go after one of his old friends, so he calls them down in Mexico, and he leaves a message, and he's like, tell them rule 44. And I'm like, what the heck is rule 44? Like, it's... and I actually don't know what rule 44 is, but I know by the time it's over, I'm going to find out. And okay. That's the cool thing is, if you watch the show, I know most of the rules. So okay. it's really pretty awesome.
I'm working my way through it.
Oh, you've been watching it?
Yeah. Yeah, I have been watching
it. What season are you on?
I'm still on season one.
You're working very slowly.
I've got a lot of TV to watch. Give me a break here.
All right, well, you got to get to the main villain of season one, which is the guy who breaks in and takes people hostage. He becomes the villain for the next two seasons.
Okay.
And okay. When you get to him, it becomes fantastic.
Okay, I'm liking what I'm seeing so far. It's just, yeah, slowly working my way through.
I have all the DVDs.
Okay.
All right. Next up, we'll get off the NCIS kick. Next up is V.
Oh, yeah.
Malcolm?
Okay, I only have two bones to pick with this week's episode. Let me get on to the good stuff.
Okay.
The thing is, since this is a remake, and, you know, everybody's seen the old one, and the old one was so good, and there's, like, really iconic moments, and we had two opportunities to have iconic moments this episode, and I'm not sure how they came off. I couldn't believe that we had the baby, and they didn't show it. Gotta be kidding me.
Would you want to see, like, a really grotesque puppet lizard thing?
Yeah, it would have just been a puppet lizard.
Just something. You know, that was the next day, in the original series, when that happened, the next day, that's all anybody could talk about in school was, oh my god, did you see that thing? Yeah, so that was I will reserve until we get to the actual reveal, okay? The second thing was Chad Decker getting his, oh my god, the bees are evil moment, which is it's a pretty good parallel to what happened in the original series with the guy from the Beastmaster when he, like, crawled through the vents and he sees Diana eating the guinea pig.
Yeah.
But the guinea pig moment is so great. And this one could have been great if they hadn't already used this exact same reveal on the daughter.
Oh, yeah. Lisa saw the same thing, right.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, we've seen this reveal already. I want something different.
Yeah, I do kind of wish that they had done something different, or if they hadn't revealed it with the daughter.
Like, so that we saw it for the first time.
We see that she's changing, but we don't know why, and then we reveal with Chad, like, they're doing these horrible things to people, and you're like, oh, it would have had a lot more impact that way, I think.
I think that they've also, because of what's going on with Lisa, they have made her a far more interesting character than she was at the beginning.
Absolutely.
Oh, definitely.
Because originally, I was like, oh, the freaking teenager, blah, 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 and I was clumping her together with Tyler.
Yeah.
And now, she is so much better than Tyler's character.
She's so cool. Like, I really like her character, and I love the way that she's progressing. And Tyler, he's
still boring.
He's fallen by the wayside here. I'm hoping something happens with him in season two.
I'm not holding out hope. I don't think he's as strong. First of all, I think he's probably the youngest actor. I'm not totally sure about this. Somebody can correct me on this. Mm-hmm. But he feels like he's the youngest actor of the group. And he's the weakest. And
he's definitely the weakest, yeah.
And the woman who plays Lisa, I've seen her in other things. Mm-hmm. And I think she's older than she's playing here. And because of that, she's got a maturity and a subtleness to her acting that really works. Because she is pretty much mimicking Anna. in a lot of her facial expressions and a lot of things that she's doing, which is really playing very well for me.
Yeah. Well, I love that subtlety because you're never entirely sure which side she's really on.
That was that great moment when she comes in and it looks like she's going to free Joshua. And I wasn't sure whether she had the bomb, if she was lying about having the bomb, if she was setting him up. Like, I was like, what's she doing right here?
Yeah.
You know? And you weren't sure. And I think that's great. You
should.
And
I'm still not entirely sure whose side she's on because she gave the bomb to Erica and Erica set it off. So is she setting Erica up or what?
Well, at this point...
Is she covering her own ass?
She might be covering herself, but I have to say that moment when you see all the... When you see Anna freaking lose it...
That was amazing.
The little smile that Lisa gets on her face at the end, she's not playing both sides.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But man, that scene when Anna lost it, I was like, this is unbelievable. Mirena knocked that scene out of the park.
Yeah, it's like, this is my first human emotion, absolute agony. And then she's like, I want vengeance, and the sky turns red, and you're just like, what the heck is going on? I don't know. This is awesome.
Yeah, it was a great finale.
That was also kind of another missed opportunity with the red sky.
How was it missed? It was pretty good, I thought.
They should have totally played Red Skies at Night by the Fix right there.
Oh, God. Well, my only issue with the episode was the whole plan of them going to dinner, setting off the bomb, people running around. My problem is there was a moment or two in there that required Anna to be stupid.
Yeah.
And Anna is many things. Stupid is not one of them.
I felt that she's been way too trusting of Erica right from the get-go.
Right. And I just feel like, because I think... She does think that humans are stupid. That's true.
Yeah.
But I really felt like the moment where they find out that Joshua or somebody is loose and they need people to catch him, and they're like, oh, give her back her gun. She's a federal agent. I was like,
no,
why?
No.
No. Like,
we have armed guards with laser guns. What's she going
to
do?
Exactly. Like, that made no sense to give her back her gun. And that was... And that... They only did that to give the moment where she could shoot Joshua. And I was
like... But she had to go destroy the egg.
Well, yeah, but she didn't need her gun to actually do that. She already had the grenade. But I just felt like she didn't need... That scene where Anna gives her the gun back, just... I didn't believe it.
Yeah.
I didn't believe Anna would do that. So that felt a little cheap. But everything else... That knocked me out of the story, but I thought everything else was pretty good, and it was a good finale, and I'm...
I like the huge reveal that Joshua wasn't the biggest fifth column guy.
Yeah.
Well...
It was his assistant.
It was Marcus. Marcus.
Yeah.
Is fifth column. That's...
No, he's
that's
not.
Right.
Wait. No, he's not. Yes. No, he's not.
He totally fifth column.
No, he's not.
Yeah. You didn't catch that reveal at the end?
Marcus is not fifth column, dude. He's not. He basically got the who's a mercenary?
Yeah.
He wants the mercenary to infiltrate fifth column so that he could destroy them. He's
that
not
fifth. That was before the reveal at the end.
There was no reveal at the end. What are you talking about?
We don't know what that reveal actually meant.
What are you talking about?
When they bring Joshua back.
Oh, yeah, they bring Joshua back. They're not bringing him back because he's fifth column. They're bringing him back to torture him and skin him alive. That's what that was about. That wasn't about, oh, he's fifth column, welcome back because we're all part of the same group. It's, welcome back, now we're going to torture you. That was what that scene was.
They didn't do it. We'll see. We'll know next week.
I seriously doubt it.
I don't think it was as that... What I liked about that scene was that you didn't know what it all meant. Like,
well, I didn't have a doubt.
I mean, I thought it was like, yeah, they're gonna torture him, and like, you don't get off that easy.
Right. You don't just get to be shot if you betray Anna. If you betray Anna, you're gonna get tortured. That's what that scene was.
There could be more to it, though. We won't find out till next
season. Well, that's true, but also hopefully Joshua won't talk because I'm sure they want him to talk.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on. We got a bunch of shows. Moving on to Glee this week was the Joss Whedon episode with Neil Patrick Harris. Thoughts?
I loved it. And I've been really I haven't really been as on board with Glee since it came back, just because it's been very unbalanced. There have been far too many musical numbers.
I like the musical numbers.
They're good, but there's so many of them per episode.
That's exactly what I like in the episodes. I actually like the plot. Their plot has never been very good.
No, it hasn't, and the plot has really been like going downhill ever since it came back. It's gotten more convoluted, and it's gotten more drama, and...
Only thing I'm going to have to say is everybody's been bashing it since it came back, and I was like, do you not remember before, when it first started, that they had the goofy stuff with the fake pregnancy and all that stuff? Like, that stuff was absolutely ridiculous, and I hated that plot line, mm-hmm. and that stuff is all resolved. I don't have to deal with that anymore, and the stuff that they're dealing with now... The only time, I think this week actually got a little overly dramatic with the mom is actually the coach of Adrenaline, and I don't know about that.
I was kind of glad they did that, because really, Idina Menzel and Lea Michele look so much like each other, they should be mother and daughter anyway.
Well, once they pointed it out, I was like, oh, they really do look alike.
Yeah.
I'm glad that the boyfriend's secret plot wasn't to, you know, destroy her in sectionals or whatever.
Yeah.
The secret plot is actually to get close to her to reveal who her mom is.
That was a bit more sophisticated.
Right. That was a better thing. But I love the duets between Schuster and Neil Patrick Harris. Those were
Dream
really...
Dream On. Oh my God. That was awesome.
Good. It was really good.
And I gotta say, I loved their version of I Dreamed a Dream. I thought it was really well done.
Which one? Who did that one?
That was Rachel and...
The mom.
Yeah.
They were great together. Yeah. They were... And actually, strangely, I liked the dance routine in the mall.
Yeah. Like, every part of me was like, this is stupid. But then there's a part of me that's like, I don't know. It's kind of fun.
Exactly. Because I was like, this is obviously a dream. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think I want to be in a dream. But the dancing was so good. I was like, I'm enjoying the dancing. All right. Whatever. Yeah. And you just kind of move on.
Yeah.
I'm not as down on Glee as everybody else. I'm still loving the show.
I'm not down on it, but like I just sort of feel like it didn't have the same kind of momentum coming back that it did when it started.
Yeah.
Like, it just felt more unbalanced. I felt like that whole Power of Madonna episode was a real waste of time.
Well, I'm sure you're going to love the Power of Lady Gaga next week.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That actually scares me a little bit. Because at least with Madonna, I knew all the songs. I don't know.
Lady Gaga, I know precisely two songs.
I might know one.
Poker Face and
Bad Romance.
There we go.
I know Paparazzi. That's it.
I don't know Paparazzi.
All right, so let's move on to Thursday. Quickly, we're going to talk 30 Rock finale. And when I say quickly, I mean because it's really not that noteworthy.
Aside from Matt Damon.
Matt Damon was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
He was pretty good. Everything else I felt was kind of a waste of time. They resolved the whole Jack Donaghy dating two women because they got really, one of them is pregnant. That's how he made his decision.
Yeah.
I was like, what are we again?
That's a cop out.
Yeah. They didn't force him. He didn't choose which woman he wanted. One of them was pregnant, so he's like, so, I guess like that's the one I'm going with.
Yeah.
You know?
Which I guess ties into their whole theme of, like, destiny as opposed to choice.
Right.
But it did feel like a cop-out because, like, really, Nancy was the stronger character anyway.
Right. I don't like the blonde chick that much. But I have to say, for the destiny standpoint, I thought that Liz Lemon, the only reason that she was hanging around with Wesley Snipes, not the Wesley Snipes, but the other Wesley Snipes, was because she had to go to his office to pick up the shoes to run into Matt Damon.
Which I didn't like because... Like,
well,
I
thought that was cool.
It was funny, but, you know, I'm in the minority here, I know, but I like Wesley. I think he's fun.
He is fun, but they don't work. Like, the two of them hate each other.
They hate... The reason she hates him is because he's so much like her.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's a male Liz Lemon. He's a male British Liz Lemon. And Michael Sheen just plays him so well.
Oh, he's great, but I mean, everything that they say to each other is like... They offend each other left and right, and they can't stand to be in the same room with each other.
Yeah,
so they're like,
because,
let's get married.
Because they're so much like each other.
I just thought that the whole, you know, he was like, it's our destiny to be together, and you're the one I'm supposed to settle with, blah, blah, blah. And then she meets Matt Damon, and I know that's not going to work.
No, of course that's not going to work.
We already know that, but it's fine.
Because he's astronaut, what's his name?
Oh, that's true.
That fantasy astronaut character who she's like, I'm going to meet him one day, and it's like, okay, he's that guy. He's Buzz Aldrin.
Right. Yeah, but, you know, I'm going to watch 30 Rock next season. Oh, it's not like I'm not, yeah. But whatever. Okay. That's enough 30 Rock discussion. Yeah. Fringe.
I don't watch Fringe.
Malcolm.
Oh, it's so good. That alternate universe. I love everything. Even the alternate opening where everything's all red. It's so cool.
Yeah, this was a really good two-part finale. First part we got last week, second part we got this week. I thought the beginning of the episode especially was really, really strong. I liked everything up until they do the switch, because I could see the switch coming.
Yep. The implications of the switch were oh my god, no.
The foreshadowing was ridiculous. I was like, yeah. Are you kidding me? Am I supposed to be surprised about this? So I thought the entire episode I thought was really good until you got to the very end when they're all doing the, did you get the message? And they're doing the looks at each other. And then Leonard Nimoy's character conveniently gets knocked out so that he doesn't realize the switch has happened. And then she comes in and she's like, oh, I'm Olivia. And no problem. And they bring her to the alternate universe. And as soon as she, you know, as soon as Leonard Nimoy gets knocked out, I was like, oh, it's the other Olivia. Like, I didn't even have a thought. Like, I knew that's who it was. And then they make you wait for, like, 10 minutes as they switch universes. She goes to her apartment. Of course she doesn't have her keys because she's a freaking alternate. I mean, the only thing that's going to be interesting... Oh, and by the way, didn't like the kiss that much either, because I have never really felt like the two of them were particularly romantic, and it felt like they pushed that a little bit too much. And I feel they pushed it because they're going to leave the real Olivia locked in a dungeon. And right. And so now I'm kind of like, we have to freaking deal with the alternate Olivia for part of next season. We don't know how long of next season. We're not going to have our main character. Are you kidding me? So
we'll have both. We'll have episodes in the alternate universe and in
yeah, she's locked in a freaking dungeon, going out of her mind in the dark. There's no way for her to get home. I have no idea how they're going to switch them back. And it better not last more than a few episodes or I will be really freaking annoyed. Because I don't... Like, the other Olivia's okay, but she's still not... First of all, my issue is Anna Torv. I don't particularly like her anyway. So now you're telling me I have to deal with an alternate version of her, which means she's going to have to act, which is a stretch for her. So I already am not happy about that bit. And I do like her relationship with Walter, like the warmth of that relationship. And so she's going to have to fake her relationship with Walter, fake her relationship with Peter, and fake her sister. In the alternate, she doesn't have a sister. So she's going to have to pretend, because like, I think in the alternate version, her sister died in childbirth, right? She's going to fake a relationship. How do you fake a relationship with a sibling? That doesn't happen. And she's got a niece that she used to babysit, and the niece knows her. There's no freaking way.
And they live with her.
So yeah, right. I'm like, are you kidding me? Yeah, there's so many...
They're going to get, like, tied up.
Well, my whole thing is somebody better figure out that it's not the correct Olivia pretty quickly, or I would be really... that could be the jumping of the shark for me on this show if they don't do that, handle that well.
Hopefully
and quickly.
It'll be Astrid.
Well, Astrid might not know it's not her. Her and Astrid are sort of close, but they're not really close. So I don't see. Because she just has so many ways to stumble. She doesn't know the history of that world. She's not going to get the cultural references. There's just so many things that she's totally going to screw up unless she does this mission really fast. So, that just had... If that goes on for more than a couple of episodes, I will be really... they're going to stretch my disbelief. All right. But I am looking forward to the new season. How about there's my positive note at the end of that? All right, quickly, flash forward.
It's bad. They managed to make Flash Forward Day boring, and they are royally screwing up Bryce and Keiko. Basically, anything that you thought was going to be cool before they went to break and lost their showrunner, they totally don't know what was going to be cool about it, and they've taken the absolute worst possible thing that they could get out of every single loose story in. You really don't care. I know like they've got one episode coming up, and I was like, oh, man, they've messed up everything.
Oh, so you're telling me to watch it then? Is that what you're saying?
That's such a bummer. Yeah, if you kind of want to see what it's like to see a show self-destruct, it's like, oh wow, this is how you really, really mess yourself up.
That's kind of why I'm still sticking with it, even though I haven't seen this week's episode yet, just because I'm not that into it. I'm just curious.
Wow.
Yeah, it's, you can really see that they had no idea what the original vision was supposed to be.
Which I find funny because it's supposedly based on a book. It's like, read the book.
All right, well, that's enough time on Flash Forward. I don't need to spend any more time on it. All right, Stargate Universe this week was really pretty good. I am I'm excited because it's part one of a two-part finale. Yeah. And part one of it, I thought they did pretty good. The only thing I'm going to have to say is I haven't watched original Star Trek. Not Star Trek. Oh, good Lord. Original Stargate in a while, and I didn't watch the end of it. I didn't watch season 9 and 10. So I kind of was like, the Lucian Alliance? What are you talking about? Like, I had the moment where I didn't really know exactly what they were talking about, but...
That's not from season 10 anyway.
What's
they made that up. That's made up for Stargate Universe.
Lucian Alliance?
Yeah. What I've kind of pieced together...
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure the Lucian Alliance
is... Is it something from Stargate Atlantis, maybe?
No, I think it's from Stargate. I think it's original Stargate.
Okay.
Because
that might be tough. Anyway, it's just those loosely aligned planets that nobody talked about. You know,
right, but I'm pretty sure they talk about them around season 8, season 9... Somewhere in there, when I stopped paying attention to Stargate completely, I vaguely remember them talking. Like, the name sounds familiar, but I don't remember all the details of them. So,
those might have been the guys that stole the Stargate. There was that weird storyline that they had right then.
Right. Because they had a bunch of ships. They had some ships, and they stole the Stargate, and they have their own little alliance going on between some of the planets and some of the humans on Earth, blah, blah, blah. So I do vaguely remember them, but I don't remember them enough to go, oh, that's such and such. So it's like, but I do like the switching of Telford and Rush. That's pretty interesting.
It's just weird that Telford can fight so good and Rush's old decrepit body.
Yeah, he totally did kick Young's butt. That's true. Well, it shows that the knowledge of fighting counts more than the actual physical body you're in. So that,
yeah,
I could buy that.
And it was really,
and
really
Rush
good
isn't
to
that
see
decrepit.
Them keep the real good comedy bits just for Jack.
What? Oh, right. Jack O'Neill.
He was so on.
Oh, yeah. He was like, every time they would say something to him, he was like, well, yeah, I agree with all that. Well, I don't know about that last bit. And then she's like, all you humans think you're special. And Jack O'Neill's like, I am special. I know exactly how I'm special.
He's like, corporal.
My thing is, I was like, yes, you're special, Jack O'Neill. You ride the short bus to school, you know. So he's great.
But that was a really, really, really cruel cliffhanger.
Oh right, yeah, because Rush is terrified. Like, my thing is, at this point, I'm like, you've gotten most of the information you can get out of Telford. You know that Rush is in frickin' danger. They know that he's been captured by the enemy and that he's in serious danger of his life, and all they have to do is switch the stones and bring him back to safety. And they're not doing it. Which irritates the crap out of me. I'm like, Rush is way more important because he's the engineer, he runs the ship, he's, you know, he's super, super valuable. And I think Young is being clouded a little bit by the fact that he hates Telford so much that he's enjoying the whole torture session, and he's not really considering, let's save Rush.
His big problem is he doesn't know what they're planning. He knows how big it is, and he knows that they tried to sabotage the program and kill all those people and stuff like that. So he knows that something big is going on, but he doesn't know what.
Right.
And I know, and see, we know, hey, they're totally invading Destiny. So we know, like, dude, you really need to, like,
switch
so they can't get on.
Yeah, like, you need to switch now, because that would actually save them. That saves them. If they switch, then they're saved, but of course they're not switching because Young is being clouded by his whole, I'm enjoying beating Telford up.
Well,
they're totally going to invade, and we're going to have three factions on the ship now.
Well, Rush is always good at just getting his judgment clouded.
No, it's not Rush. Young.
I meant Young. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. But it just feels like he should see the error at this point. But anyway, next week looks really good. Lots of fights, lots of interesting stuff. And strangely, I actually think Rey, for once, is the voice of reason in that room. Usually she's not. Usually she's annoying. But this time, I'm like, yes, listen to her.
She's slowly become more and more rational, like, sort of the voice of reason among them.
Yeah, because they're becoming more irrational.
Yeah.
And I also will reiterate, Greer needs a freaking leash. Because
I'm always surprised when I see him wandering corridors, and I'm like, why are you allowed to roam freely? Why do you not have an armed escort?
He, this week, it's like he was obeying Telford's orders 5 seconds ago. They say Telford is a traitor, and he's just like, he just wants to beat him to death.
Mm-hmm.
He really has issues. And I said this last week, and I still don't understand why people just let him wander about, because he has serious anger management. He just wants to kill someone. He doesn't really care who. It actually reminds me a little bit of Dexter, in that Dexter's got the whole dark passenger deal, and he pretends to be calm all the time, and he lets it out and kills people. Problem is, Greer doesn't have that release. He hasn't been able to let that out, and so it's always at the surface. I mean, he's obedient officer, and then when he gets, there's like, well, maybe we'll get to hurt somebody. And then he's like, ooh, you know, so then he's ready to go.
Interesting, yeah.
I would not feel safe with him. Like,
No.
Anyway. Any last comments on Stargate Universe? We're about to move on.
Nope.
All right. Cool. Next up is Doctor Who, and this week's episode is The Vampires of Venice. Any thoughts?
I liked it.
But it was so unfair to Mickey 2.0.
it was unfair to him, but at the same time, I liked him more than Mickey, just because.
Yeah.
Well, I eventually liked Mickey more.
But
initial Mickey.
Initial Mickey was just complete and utter dead weight.
Yes.
And I don't feel that way about Rory. Like, primarily because of Amy. Because when you had Rose and Mickey, Rose pretty much had absolutely no time for Mickey. She's like, yeah, whatever, you're done with. I've got the doctor now.
And Amy's pretty similar, though.
Not as much.
Well, I think part of that is because she actually is engaged to him. So she feels a little more commitment that she has to kind of at least pretend to spend time with him, but I think...
Perhaps, but I sort of feel like that pretending is sort of pushing her into, wait a minute, I actually do care about this guy.
You're skipping ahead.
No, I'm not.
Oh, yeah. I like the part that Rory was able to see right through the doctor, though Mickey never really did that.
That's true.
That's very true, yeah.
Yeah, that scene where he calls the doctor out, that's pretty good.
You make people want to impress you. People act all dangerous around you. I'm like, oh, see, he has some insight.
Mm. Yeah, that's...
What I loved about that was how the doctor was pretty much like, I have no response to that. You're right.
Yeah, exactly. And I would say all the character interaction this week's episode was good. My problem with the episode was the villain/vampire fish. which I swear was just...
I thought they were going to be sea devils at first. I was like, oh, are those sea devils? Oh, guess they're not. No.
I was really disappointed by the vampire fish, especially the end. It was awful to me.
Really?
Oh, I absolutely... Yeah.
It wasn't creepy. It was just dumb.
The mother got eaten by her children.
Yeah, okay. But all it was a perception filter, yet she's taking off her clothes. That's part of the perception filter. Whatever.
Yeah, I sort of didn't understand how she was taking off her clothes when it was clear that it was part of the perception filter.
Right,
yeah.
And I didn't understand why did she do it. It didn't make sense to me. And it's a rehash of, the one with Anthony Stewart Head.
School Ties.
Yeah. It was a very much a rehash of that same episode where the aliens...
Well, I think they were actually written by the same guy.
Yes, I noticed that too.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, write a new episode. So it felt very similar. One, they go to the doctor and they say, hey, we know that you're a Time Lord and we could totally use you. You could help us. Let's make a deal. And of course the doctor's like, no.
Mm-hmm.
I did like the episode all the way, and I'll have to call another criticism. Sorry. I was going to say I liked the episode up to this point, which was when you reveal that they're fish, which I thought was stupid. But I did like the episode. I liked the character interactions. The only thing was I called shenanigans on the doctor letting Amy infiltrate the cult or whatever that group was because, first of all, they didn't know at what point do they convert them into fish.
Yeah.
That could have been immediate. That could have been as soon as Rory walked out of the room, they converted into a fish. Done.
Yeah.
The end. Also, he has a freaking sonic screwdriver. Why do they need her to infiltrate and open the door? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That was just like, that was absolutely ridiculous.
I don't know. I think his new sonic screwdriver is not as powerful as his old one.
It's supposed to be better.
It seems to be screwing up a lot more.
Well, I mean, he can open a door. Are you kidding? He can open a door with a sonic screwdriver.
No, I agree. I'm just saying, like, that's just how it seems to me. Is like, the new sonic screwdriver, not as good. Like, how many things have been, like, deadlocked where he hasn't been able to get into
it? Well, I mean, they did that with the old one, too. But it wasn't even like, if they had even said, oh, I tried the door, it's deadlocked, we have to find another way in.
Yeah.
Cool. That's not what they did.
No, that's true.
And I just don't believe him putting a companion in that kind of danger. I did not believe it.
Especially someone like Amy.
Right. She's new, too. She's a brand new companion.
Like, in the past, there might have been some companions who he would put in a situation like that, but only because he knew that they were up to the task.
Right. And
I looked at this whole episode as kind of like an episode of House where, you know, the monster of the week just was not even important. It was all about the character interaction, and it was really all about the doctor just totally C-blocking.
The doctor, that's actually what he wanted, because
he had a couple parts where he was doing some really heavy C-blocking, like he made Rory into a eunuch.
Well, I actually have to say, jumping out of the cake, best scene of the whole episode.
Absolutely. Loved the jumping out of the cake.
Jumping out of the cake. I was like, is somebody going to jump out of the cake? And then he does, and he's like, yeah, there's a woman in the alley in a bikini. She's probably cold. And I was like, what? Like, that whole ramble.
I love that joke about the kiss where Rory's like, and you kissed her back. He's like, no, I kissed her mouth.
Everything in that scene was absolute gold.
Yeah.
Like, I laughed from beginning to end of that scene. That was fantastic.
Even had a My Schwartz is bigger than yours.
Yeah.
All that was great. Like, and that's the thing. It feels like the show's a little schizophrenic a little bit. And, I mean, there are scenes that I absolutely love. And I'm just like, this is so great. And then there's just logic issues, like the whole sonic screwdriver thing and putting people into danger.
Yeah.
That I'm just like, well, this doesn't feel like a Doctor Who.
Like, and part of me sort of feels like maybe there's like the underlying issue of the Doctor still trying to figure himself out since the regeneration.
Come on, now how many episodes can you give him that pass, though?
Are you kidding? David Tennant had like 2 seasons trying to figure him out.
It wasn't from regeneration. That they didn't say it. Like, the regeneration confusion, I give you a couple of episodes, one or two. After that, this is who you are. You know, David Tennant was the Doctor as the Doctor. That was exactly who he was.
Yeah.
He wasn't, but that's just like anybody trying to figure themselves out. That's not regeneration trying to figure yourself out. But
yeah,
I just, I it's just like, to me, it's writing. It's not the actors. I think Matt Smith is fantastic. He is really, really good.
Matt Smith and Karen Gillan.
Well, I'm not going to give her credit for that.
I like her.
I don't really like her.
Okay, fine. Then we'll just have to agree to disagree on that.
We'll agree to disagree. I actually like Rory. I think he's funny.
I really like Rory. Rory is probably, like, the strongest, like, extra companion we've had in a very long time.
I like him. I do like him.
Although I think it was dumb of him to travel with them. I was like, oh God, please don't do that, dude.
Well, he's already described the trap, which is you hang with the Doctor long enough, then you're gonna want to be part of the entourage. You're gonna want to impress him. And he totally falls into the trap.
Yeah.
Like within an episode, and it's like you know the trap and you walk right into it. But I like that.
But that's because, like, the only way he can get to Amy is to get into the trap.
Yeah, because at this point he's not really trying to impress the Doctor. He's trying to impress Amy.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's valid. So I'm totally down with that.
But he still gets to jack the Doctor's jaw at some point.
You want the fist fight?
Yeah.
he's got to, because the way they carry on in front of him, he got to at least. Hit him. You gotta hit him at least
one. Well,
it's gonna happen. We all know it's gonna happen.
I do have to say that I like Amy calling both of them her boys. I do actually find that to be a little cute. Though it relegates the Doctor into sidekick, which is weird.
But I like that, because it sort of like harkens back to like Patrick Troughton days, where the Doctor is... He doesn't seem like the all-powerful guy who controls everything and is always in charge. Like, he's a bumbler, and he's just, like, another one of the team. He's a very important part of the team, but he's still just one of the guys.
I don't know if I like that. Well, I was going to say, I didn't like that Doctor. That was the second Doctor, right?
Yeah.
I didn't like the second Doctor. So that's the only Doctors I haven't liked. I don't really like the first Doctor. I don't really like the second Doctor. I love the third Doctor.
Yeah.
Third, fourth, fifth. And that's about it. I like the Eighth Doctor.
I like the Eighth Doctor too. I'm not a big fan of William Hartnell. No. I do like Patrick Troughton.
He's two Three Stooges for me.
That's what I like about him. Yeah, I like that he's so bumbling.
I didn't like the Three Stooges. Okay. I'm a girl. Guys like the Three Stooges. Girls don't like the Three Stooges.
Even the Seventh.
What'd you say?
I like all the Doctors.
Seventh Doctor's pushing it, man.
Seventh Doctor in the right situation, yeah, I can kind of like him. Colin Baker, No. I'm sorry. I've tried so hard. I just can't do it.
What'd you say?
His ears were cool for his companion.
Yeah, okay, but we're talking about Doctors. Do you like the Doctor? No. That's not asking if you like the companion. We're asking if you like the Doctor.
I mean, there have been great Doctors with horrible companions.
Right. I can think of a couple. But the thing is on the current show, Amy, out of all the new Doctor Who, Amy's my least favorite. There's something about her that feels false to me. And I'm not sure what it is. I cannot pinpoint it, but I've liked Rose, I've liked Martha, and I've liked Donna. I've liked all the companions. Except for her, and I don't know why. And I know that every guy, of course, I've talked to loves her because she's super sexy.
That's not why I like her. Yes, she's super sexy, but that's not why I like her. I like her because she's a. There's just something about her chemistry with the Doctor that just works for
me. Seems fresh, yeah.
And
like, that's actually what doesn't work for me. That's exactly what doesn't work for me.
Okay, I'm on board with it. Like, okay, I liked Rose at first. Started not liking her so much as the series went on.
Come on, I always liked her.
I did not like Martha when she was a companion. Loved her afterwards.
Oh, you're going to have to leave my house now. Martha's my favorite companion.
Oh, well, Donna's my favorite, hands down.
I can totally get on board with the Donna being... Like, my order is Martha, Donna, Rose. Like that. What'd you say?
They're Dane Smith.
We're talking new companions.
We're talking new companions. And, okay, we want to talk new companions. Wilf.
Wilf is fantastic.
He qualifies, and he's fantastic.
Oh, I'm not arguing. Wilf is great.
Yeah.
Wilf is an absolutely great companion. That's why I'm actually surprised that I'm not liking Amy. And I cannot tell. Like, I loved her as a little girl. She was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
And as soon as she was an adult, I was like, eh. And it's just, I haven't. And I was like, well, maybe I need to warm up to her. And so I'm trying to warm up to her, and it's just not happening yet. It hasn't happened yet.
I don't know. I guess I warmed up to her right away. Her and Matt Smith. Like,
well, I mean, Matt Smith was instantaneous.
Yeah. I got on board with both of them way faster than I got on board with David Tennant.
Well, we won't talk about being David Tennant.
Yeah, you were like the last on the train.
Yeah, we won't talk about that.
It took me about two or three episodes. You, what did it take, like a whole season?
No. Actually, I refused to watch him.
Yeah.
It took me 2 years of refusing to watch him. And then I actually watched him, and then I loved him.
Yeah.
But it's not...
Yeah, I've seen so many doctor companion transitions. It just all seems like old hat to me.
Yeah. I'm one of those people that are retro. Like, I got into Doctor Who, and in between the breaks, I've been watching old Who. So, we have rambled about Doctor Who a little bit too long.
Oh, darn, really?
But I actually do like, I think this is actually pretty cool, because this is one of the few podcasts I've done where the other two people have watched old Who. Most people haven't watched it at all.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, you need to have us on for the rest of the, until Doctor Who's over.
Yeah, you guys actually understand the old references. Like, I'll talk about, like, I'm not saying I'm an expert by any means.
No,
like,
neither am I. Like, I know it.
Yeah, and I watched the old...
I am.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah, you're gonna outclass us both.
Because I've watched some of the old, like, Netflix Instant right now has a lot of the old, and so I've been watching a lot of the old Doctor Who, and I'm getting the discs and watching those. Though I have to say, you have to pace yourself.
Oh, yeah.
You can't...
I can't
do more than one Hartnell story a day.
Didn't have any sound. They were like in the back of the DVDs. I watched all that stuff too.
I've tried watching those, like the ones where they like sort of piece them together from found material. That's rough.
Yep. I watched the animated one where they like, well, we don't have anything right here, but hey, we kind of animated this. This is kind of what we think it was.
I don't know. You're talking about Shada, aren't you?
It was like Patrick Troughton one. I was like, oh, hey, this is interesting.
No, I tried to watch some of the Second Doctor, and he's just, part of it is I always find the Doctor charming. If he's not sexy, he's at least charming.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Troughton is neither. He is neither charming nor sexy.
He's more charming than William Hartnell.
I don't like William Hartnell either, but I'm just saying... To be my doctor, you have to be some combination of charming and sexy. Okay? You can either...
So basically, up until David Tennant, it's all been about charming for you then, right?
Well, no, the eighth doctor was hot, too. And the fifth doctor's not exactly hard on the eyes either. But the third doctor, he's a little bit sexy. I mean, he's older, he's got the frunky hair, but he is super charming. I really enjoy watching him.
Yeah.
And the fourth doctor,
John Pertwee, I love. Yeah.
Yeah, and Tom Baker, he's got the charm, not the sexy, but he's
definitely
got the charm.
Not the sexy.
No, he's got the super charm.
It all
kind of
depends on who was your doctor when you first started watching. Yeah, because Tom Baker
was my first doctor.
Mine was Tom Baker. Yeah.
My first doctor was Christopher Eccleston. Mm-hmm. So he's not, and I like Christopher Eccleston, but Tennant is my doctor.
Like. I started with Tom Baker, and I wasn't really a big Doctor Who fan at the time. Like, I would watch it, and I knew kind of what was going on, but wasn't really big into it, and then it just sort of fell aside for a while, and then, like, came back with Chris Eccleston and David Tennant, and then started going back and watching all the stuff that I'd missed.
Right. But, yeah.
So, essentially, Baker is my original Doctor, but that doesn't make him my favorite.
Well, like I said, my original is Christopher Eccleston, and Tennant's my favorite. Mm-hmm. So
Tennant's my favorite, too.
Tennant is my favorite, although if Matt Smith keeps going the way he's going, he may trump him.
It's gonna
take a lot, but I'm just saying.
I was about to say, like, no, crazy talk, people.
No,
I
it's not crazy talk. I'm like, you know, give Matt Smith a couple seasons.
Oh,
he might overpower Tennant.
Okay, we have rambled on forever for Doctor Who, and it's time to bring this podcast to a close. If you have any comments, send them to tvcampfire@gmail.com, and I'll talk to you guys next week.